Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. And our text for this evening is found there in verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Regarding the Lord Jesus and the cross of Calvary, it must be noted that there on Calvary's hill, the Lord Jesus did not die a martyr's death. We mean by that, his life was not taken from him. Not at all. In fact, the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in describing the events surrounding Calvary, none of them described the Lord Jesus as dying. None of them said he died. Instead, Matthew tells us he yielded up the ghost, or he yielded up his spirit. That's what Matthew said. Mark, in his account, says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit. Mark 15, verse 37. No, the Lord's life was not taken from him. Instead, he voluntarily gave it up at a time of his choosing. He chose the hour when he would give up the ghost. As it is written in John 7, verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. His hour. His hour, yes, his hour of death. So he knew the hour. He knew the minute when he would yield up the ghost. And further, the Lord was in control when he would lay down his life. We see from John, chapter 19. Look there at John 19, verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, that is the first of the thieves, and of the other, which was crucified with him. Then verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Now think of it. The Lord Jesus was on the cross before the two thieves. The Lord Jesus was crucified, and when he was crucified, we read that the soldiers came and sat down and watched him there. Then they crucified the Lord Jesus. We see that from Matthew 27 and verse 38. So the Lord had been on the cross quite a bit longer than the two thieves. And so this is further proof that the Lord Jesus was in control of when he would give up the ghost. Because you see, when you think of the Lord on the cross and the two thieves. The two thieves could not die in the presence of the living Christ. The Lord Jesus had to give up the ghost first. While Christ was alive, those two thieves would not have died. Because whenever the Lord came face to face with death, he was always victorious. We know that when he entered into the house of Jairus. And there was Jairus' dead child, 12-year-old daughter. Christ was victorious. Death could not hold its prey. Death couldn't hold on to Jairus' daughter while the living Christ was in the room. So it was that day when that funeral procession came out of Nain and the Lord Jesus was making his way to that area. And there came the widow woman following behind the coffin of her only son. The two processions met. And once again, Christ was victorious over death, for he raised up the widow's son out of that coffin. Christ was always victorious when he came face to face with death. So it was at the tomb of Lazarus. There he went to that tomb, and there he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who was dead came forth. See, death cannot be victorious in the presence of the living Christ. And that's how it was on the cross. Christ had to give up the ghost first. For while Christ lived, those two thieves could not die. Further, notice before he surrendered his life to death, after the pain and the fatigue, his life was whole in him. Because we read, he cried, listen, with a loud voice. Tells me he was in complete control. His body, as it were, was whole. You all know, when it comes to someone dying, in their last hours, their voice is really the first thing that fails. And that voice that maybe in lifetime they've been able to speak loud, in its last hours, it reduced to a whisper. And those around the bed must lean over and put their ear to the mouth of the one who's about to pass away. But what do we read of Christ? No, he didn't speak with a whisper. He cried with a loud voice. The voice of a dying man. And yet, he cried with a loud voice. Christ, just before he expired, spoke like a man with all his strength. This shows that his life was not forced from him. He was in control at all times with regard to when he would give up the ghost. His life, again we said, was not taken from him. As one in control of all things, including the hour, the moment when he would yield up the ghost. And when he did so, when he yielded up the ghost at the hour of his choosing, the hour, yea, the minute of his choosing, we read the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. There we are told about one of the great wonders of Calvary. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. The earthquake of Calvary. Let us take a look at that earthquake that occurred when the Lord Jesus yielded up the ghost. I want us, first of all, to consider the wonder of the earthquake. The wonder of the earthquake. So Matthew tells us about the earthquake. Indeed, Matthew is the only evangelist, only of the four evangelists, to record the earth did quake and the rocks rent. I find that quite amazing. You would have thought that at such a momentous event and happening, that it would be something recorded by all four evangelists. Indeed, Matthew's account is made up, in our authorized version, made up of just 9 words. Think of it. An earthquake described by Matthew using no more than 9 words, and it's not recorded in any of the other Gospels. Why so few words used to record this momentous event? Well, I believe Matthew didn't want the attention to be all on the earthquake, but upon a much greater event. Matthew wanted all the attention to be upon the one who hung on the middle tree. After all, as Paul tells us, Colossians 1:18, in all things he must have the preeminence. And whatever else happened there at Calvary that day, Christ must have the preeminence. And Matthew is the only one that records the earthquake, and he does so with no more than 9 words, because he wanted all the attention to be upon the Savior. So regarding this event, this wonder of the earthquake, we notice the moment. That is, the moment that the earthquake took place. We're told exactly when the earthquake and the rocks that rent. We're told that it was immediately following the Lord Jesus crying with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice, and the veil of the temple was rent, and the rocks did quake. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That's when the earthquake took place. No wonder he cried with a loud voice. Because what did he cry? Well, John 19 verse 30 tells us what he cried. He cried, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. I'm sure you already know that those 3 words, "it is finished," in the original, it's just 1 word. So Christ cried with a loud voice, "Finished," and gave up the ghost, and the earthquake and the rocks rent. He had every right to cry, "Finished," and the cry finished with a loud voice, because he had prayed in his great high priestly prayer. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." John 17 verse 4. Mark his words. "I have glorified thee on the earth." And here, this earthquake, the quaking of the earth, testified to the fact that Christ had glorified the Father on earth, and it was the earth that did quake. And while upon earth, He finished the work which had been given him to do. And so the earthquake to testify the work of redemption, praise the Lord, was finished. The work was finished. Let our preaching be of the finished work of Christ. Let us make it known far and wide that Christ finished the work of redemption there on Calvary. No wonder the earth did quake. As well as the moment, we notice the magnitude. What a momentous event this was. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Not only the earth quaking, but the rocks being split open. The rocks were split open. The rocks rent. And they were rent in twain. So here was a quake that we're told shook the earth. Shook the earth. The earth did quake. Of course it did. Because what took place that day on Calvary, listen, would never be repeated. It was a once only event when God's incarnate Son yielded up his life for sinful man. No wonder the earth did quake. Why would the earth not quake? After all, heaven responded with 3 hours of darkness. Why would the earth not quake when the only begotten Son of God gave his life a ransom for many? Why would the earth not quake? Why would the earth not quake when it heard that word finished, piercing the air? And when that word finished was uttered by Christ with a loud voice, I have no doubt that as well as the earth quaking, Satan's kingdom quaked as well. Satan's kingdom was shaken. Because there that day, Christ opened up a way to heaven and robbed hell of souls. No wonder the earth did quake. Because when Christ cried with a loud voice, finished, then he gave up the ghost. Just then. No. That was not a cry of defeat when he cried, finished. Praise the Lord, it was a cry of victory. Heaven knew it. Hell knew it. And now, the earth knew it. Now, as though to shudder in triumph, all earth knew it. There was that great earthquake when Christ cried, finished. As well as the moment and the magnitude. We have here also the miracle. Well, that's what it was, a miracle. That's what it was when the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And a wonder, a miracle took place. A miracle of God. Because it happened just at the moment that God's Son cried with a loud voice. No. God sent the earthquake to announce the death of his own dear Son. After all, it was God who caused the 3 hours of darkness in the brightest hours of the day, 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon, there was darkness over all the earth. And God sent the darkness. When that veil and the temple was rent from top to bottom. God did it. You know, that veil was the thickness of the breadth of a man's hand. No man could possibly have rent the veil. Anyway, it was rent from the top to the bottom, and God did it. And now when it came to the quake, the earthquake, we can say, God alone did it, because God is able to cause the earth to quake. Read in Haggai, prophecy of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake the heavens and the earth. Verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So what happened that day at Calvary? We can say God did it. Wasn't a coincidence. God gave, the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost at the exact moment of his choosing. And when he did so, God caused the earth to quake. It was a miracle when you think of it. The earth that quaked, the rocks rent, and yet the cross never moved. The cross never moved. And yet this earthquake took place at Calvary. That indeed was a miracle. So we have considered the wonder of the earthquake. Let us look then, secondly, at the witness of the earthquake. The witness. The earthquaking at Calvary. The witness to a number of truths. Bore witness to a number of truths. First of all, it speaks to us of the past. For you see, there was a great earthquake when God came down upon Mount Sinai and gave to Moses the law, Exodus 19, verses 17 and 18. There was an earthquake then. The people gathered there most certainly would have not have forgotten that day that God gave the law. And of course, when we think of the law being given by God, the law does not save souls. There is no salvation in the law or the keeping of the law. The Lord often had to rebuke the Pharisees. They believed that if they kept the law, that they were righteous in the eyes of Jehovah. Well, they were nothing of the kind. They were guilty, hell deserving sinners like everybody else. Well, the Lord had to rebuke them as hypocrites anyway. So the keeping of the law does not make a man righteous or make him right in the eyes of God. We read in Galatians chapter 3 and there in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our schoolmaster. And so it is. What does the law teach us then as our schoolmaster? It teaches us that we're sinners. Because we look at God's law, we realize we have broken God's law. And God's law tells us that. And as Paul says, it's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so we know we've broken God's law, and we flee to Christ, the one who kept the law, and the one who's able to cleanse us from all the sins we've committed against the law of God. And so what the law could not do, Christ did. Christ did it by his finished work on Calvary. No one is saved by obeying the law, because the law condemns, shows that we are transgressors of the law of God. But Christ came into the world and he made a way of escape. And the door of salvation was opened that day in Calvary. The door of salvation was opened that day, and that moment that Christ cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." He opened the door to heaven. And to announce that the door of salvation had been opened, God sent an earthquake. Paul said, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.'" And there, the Lord Jesus hung upon that tree, and he bore the curse for all of his elect, for all of our sins. The sins of all of his elect were laid upon him. Christ bore the curse on our behalf. Listen, no wonder then, no wonder the earth did quake at such a momentous event as Christ being a curse for us and bearing all our sins. As well as the earthquake speaking to us of the past, the earthquake speaks to us of a person. A person. The earth quaking and the rocks being rent not only points to Christ on the cross, but we see Christ in that earthquake in another way. Yes, God did rend the rocks that day, but listen, he also rent another rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "And did all drink," speaking of the children of Israel, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank," listen, "of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. Now look at it. When the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. God sent the earthquake. God rent those rocks, split those rocks open. And God rent the rock of his own dear son. Christ the rock was rent that day as well. Those five bleeding wounds. And as we read in Isaiah 53, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And that's what happened that day. The Lord bruised the rocks, for he split them open. And that day Christ was bruised by his heavenly Father as the great rock of our salvation, bearing all the sins of his people. He must bear the punishment for those sins also. And that punishment included. Being rent by the wrath of God. There as he hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. The rocks of the earth were rent, and the rock of heaven was rent also. As well as the past, this earthquake speaks to us of the person. It also speaks to us of the proof. The proof. We see what the earthquake did to those who were present at that scene. Look carefully. Look at verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. What took place that day at Calvary was proof in the minds of the centurion and those with him that the Lord Jesus, as he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Isn't it interesting that it took an earthquake to convince the centurion and those who were with him of the true identity of Christ? An earthquake opened their hearts. An earthquake opened their eyes. And the centurion and those who were with him said, truly, this was the Son of God. What does that remind us of? Does that remind us of what took place as recorded in Acts 16? Paul and Silas in prison. And there was an earthquake that night. And what were the effects of that earthquake? Well, the prison guard came in and fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house, was the answer. What was it that brought that jailer to the point where he said, what must I do to be saved? It took an earthquake. It took an earthquake to open the eyes of the centurion and those who are with them. And you know something? Sometimes it takes one of life's earthquakes to open the eyes of those who are blinded by sin. Those who are without God, without hope in this world, or the world to come. Sometimes it takes an earthquake in life. An accident. A death in the family. Something that really shakes that individual to their foundation. And they begin to think, as the jailer did, what must I do to be saved? Sometimes it takes an earthquake to open the eyes of those who are blinded by sin and those who live without God and without hope in the world or the world to come. We have considered the wonder of the earthquake. We have considered the witness of the earthquake. That brings us finally to the warning and the earthquake. A warning. A warning. Verse 54. Once again. Now when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly. Get a hold of that. They didn't dismiss it. They didn't laugh at it. They feared greatly. What does that tell us? The earthquake in Calvary led the centurion to acknowledge the deity of Christ and who he is. The earthquake shook the jailer to his foundation, cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" The Calvary's earthquake takes us forward to a time in the future, takes us to the last days. Because an earth shattering earthquake will accompany the great judgment day. The great judgment day. The great judgment day is coming and will be accompanied by an earthquake. The earthquake at Calvary, first of all, speaks to us of a future day. Speaks to us of God's judgment. There'll be no hiding from the judgment of God. We read there in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. There we read, "And I beheld, and it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became dark, a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell from the earth upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." There was an earthquake. And verse 14, "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain, an island, were moved out of their places." I tell you, the earthquake of Calvary, while it was a momentous event, was nothing. Nothing compared to what will take place in the last days. It'll be an earthquake such as which the earth has never witnessed or experienced before. It will be the day of God's final judgment. Judgment on all those who have rejected Christ. Get a hold of that. Any in the meeting there? You don't know the Lord. You're not saved by his grace. You better watch out. You'll face a great earthquake one day. It'll be the last judgment. A judgment upon all those who live like there is no God. Those who live for their sin. Thumb their nose at God. They're going to meet God someday. And they're going to experience a great shattering earthquake. It's a future day. It'll be a fearful day. Earthquakes, of course, are a fearful thing. When everything is moving around you. But nothing will be as fearful as the earthquake on the great judgment day. There will be no hiding place. Get a hold of that. There'll be no hiding place for sinners on the day of judgment. Listen. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Listen, listen to it. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is simple. Nobody. Nobody will be able to stand. And so that earthquake that took place at Calvary that day would point to the future of a greater earthquake that's coming. Christ and Calvary that day opened up the way of salvation. And all who have rejected that salvation, there is no escape. I couldn't say that loudly enough, earnestly enough, truthfully enough. There's no escape. As Paul said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hear that, sinner? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Look tonight to Calvary, where an earthquake did take place to announce the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. And for any that hears my voice tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get to Christ and get to him soon and get to him immediately. Immediately. Or how will you escape if you neglect so great salvation? May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just close now with prayer. Oh, dear Lord, our God, we thank thee for the finished work of Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, for the great work that was done there. The great work was announced by the 3 hours of darkness. The great work was announced by the rending of the veil. The great work was announced by the earthquake and the rending of the rocks. Greatest work ever wrought. We thank thee, Lord, for opening up the way whereby guilty, hell-deserving sinners could find a resting place in Christ and be saved and go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Lord, I pray, save someone tonight. Save someone tonight that, Lord, they'll not face that great day of wrath. And the rocks will be rent and the mountains will move. Lord, answer prayer. Continue thy blessing upon the work and witness there in Cloverdale. Bless the work and the witness. Bless the congregation. Be with us now, Lord, this evening. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen and amen.